struggling today. Oh my God.
Oh, man, I'm so
oh my God. I wasn't going to do anything last night and then kind of like got roped into, it's one of those nights where like we went to a bar that's down the street and then like 20 people from my life. Right. Like I felt like on a, it's like how like on the hills, like LC would be at like Ledoux. My friend was like, it's giving Ledoux last night. Cause you'd be at Ledoux and then you're like, Heidi's here.
Right.
You're like, it's like, of course,
showing up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, why would you be surprised that Heidi's here? It's like, it's Ledoux.
Right. You know? I love it. Yeah. Yeah. It was my best friend's birthday. And it was just, we just all chose chaos. Like we went into it very much like this is going to be a chaotic night. And we just drank so much. I was at an after party, passed on the couch, like fully asleep. Just oh my God. I was like, and that was the night. It was good.
That's a good way to introduce. So everybody, welcome back to the B List. I'm B, of course. And I'm with Lucas Thim. Is it Tim or Thim? I don't.
It's Tim. The H Tim. Is silent.
Okay, yeah. That's what I figure. Okay.
I love attention. I'm Lucas the K, and I my silent H in my last name. I love it.
Yeah. He is a host and writer of his own. It's like a live talk show called So Many Issues with Lucas Thim. I'm actually going to be a guest on it mid-month, right? Nick, November 16th?
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Coming up.
I have never actually been, so I don't know what I'm in for, but you kind of like talk a lot about politics, right? And kind of like pop culture. Yeah. And
well, you nailed it. It's a live, it's a late night talk show. And I think my whole like pitch of it is like, you can be smart and silly at the same time. And you can have a show where I sit down with a New York City council member. And then later we have a panel, we talk about Real Housewives. And
oh, perfect.
Both conversations are just as engaging. Yeah. And people want to walk away learning about what's going on in the city, like in terms of like this new law he passed, like try to get rid of rats. And we're going to talk about like how to get rid of rats, like Lisa Rinna. I mean,
The rats are going to, I know, right? She's got lots of rats in her. We'll talk about it. The rats are going to hate this message.
That was wild.
That press conference was so insane. Wild. Yeah.
Insane.
But so I guess we kind of have like the same sensibilities, I guess, with that kind of stuff, because obviously I like to have fun, but then I also talk about serious stuff too. I talk about like the intersection between pop culture and politics and all of that stuff. For instance, like with that press conference, my first thought was Mob Wives.
100%. Yeah. You posted that. I loved it. That was dead on.
Drita. Oh my God. Yeah. I miss Mob Wives so fucking much. I actually met last night. I was at a bar. And this guy was there and he was like, I've met Big Ange once. And I was like, tell me everything. R.I.P. Yeah.
What an icon.
A just legend.
Someone like when you think about the history of reality TV, the ones who broke through to like main culture, like pop culture, like she is someone where like everyone knew she was, despite even watched Mob Wives. You knew who Big Ange was. The way that obviously like Snooki did or Nene did, like everyone knew who Big Ange was.
And like, if there's no reason to dislike her, like everybody loves Ange to like, you know what I mean?
Totally. It's like
Tiffany Pollard, you know? If you don't like Tiffany Pollard, you're just a hater. I'm sorry.
100%.
She's
amazing. Just, she is television. She's incredible. I mean, like, again, one of those people, like many of the Potomac housewives or land housewives where like, it's so naturally funny, like could write on any show. Like she is hysterical and comes up with shit that I could never even dream about.
Well, you just mentioned Potomac, but like, I mean, that show is just like, I think the reason that show works so well is because they are incredibly intelligent women on that show. And they can kind of like, they navigate like doing petty arguments, but then also like too intelligent to be throwing things. Well, sometimes, but.
Also, can pick up a knife occasionally, so.
Which is funny because she's actually, I guess, and like a superficial sense or like on a surface, like the most intelligent, like she worked in the Obama administration. I don't know exactly what she did, but you know, she kind of,
we don't know what she did, but she did something.
She uses incredibly big words. She kind of also acts the most immature at all times, but that's why she's interesting.
I mean, not today, Satan, not today, neck or whatever.
Not today, neck. So
Potomac is, I love about Potomac, it seems the most like vintage housewives in the best way, that it's the most genuine. And they, even though I really enjoy Salt Lake, they're not, it doesn't like they've been consumed by the caricatures, Potomac. They're just very much like, they're organically themselves and they're just funny, smart, kind of sometimes crazy women. And I love, they're just the best. Yeah.
Well, we'll get more into that, but first, I guess, Halloween just happened.
Yep.
Did you dress up?
I did dress up. Friday night, I went to City of Gods, which was a lot of fun.
Okay,
so I decided to be, I'll just call it like Roman King. I just went, and I somehow lost my shirt. not even have a shirt. I didn't even bring a shirt. Just had a cape and a golden crown and like a Roman skirt. And I bought, you know, I got some gold bracelets. It was a vibe. And then on Saturday, I went to Horse Meat Disco and I did like an Madonna Lucky Star inspired 80s.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It was good. Yeah, it was easy. Okay. It was fine.
What nothing like losing your shirt at a bar and going home shirtless in an Uber is so fucking humanizing.
and especially the sun's coming up and you're silent with Uber, driver just looking at you, you're shirtless. You're just like, oh God.
Oh my God.
That's my life.
I did dress up. I only went out one night. This year wasn't giving. Like, I don't know. The energy, the vibes are off. I think we're tired. I don't know. It was such a summer. And like, but then again, like, I love Halloween, but it's more about like the getting dressed up at someone's house and taking the photos. And once you take the photos and the videos, then I'm like, all right.
That's why it's ridiculous. I refuse to spend that much money on costumes because I'm not going to be wearing it when I go to the function because my shirt will probably be off. And why did it? Like, it just was like, it's all.
I stay fully clothed.
Good for you. You're classier than I am. But yeah, it's all about the pregame hanging out with friends. I mean, I go back and forth Halloween. I end up having a good time. I think you're right. The energy was lower, I think, than in years past.
A lot of less care was taken into people's looks and things like that. I was Agator Spartacus from The Birdcage. Do you ever seen The Birdcage?
Yes, of course. Oh, yeah. Amazing. Yeah, I saw your costume. It was
an
great.
Iconic gay. So that was fun.
That's a good costume. Yeah.
And that was it.
I saw a lot of
Pamela Andersons this year online and about. Yeah. I think it's because of the Hulu show.
Yes, 100%. I haven't watched it.
It's okay. And I didn't even finish it. Once his penis started actually talking, I was done.
Yeah, I heard about that. I'm like, I don't got time for that. Like, there's like so much TV. I'm like, if people I respect are like, I can't finish, I'm like, it's not worth the
watch. This is like such a stunt. I'm so over it. And like the acting was really like fucking subpar. And I'm not like totally bought into the idea of like using her trauma about like revenge.
Totally.
Well, it wasn't revenge porn, right? But it was like stolen porn.
Yeah.
So like, and just like, she didn't want it to be made. She doesn't want to relive it. So why would we be?
Well, that's the biggest thing. When they make these biopics or television shows, when the people they're about are like, I don't like this. So, like, this automatically is a bad taste in my mouth. Like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I guess I haven't really thought about it, but I don't know what the line is because like, while I do feel that way about Pamela, but this is mostly because I'm an advocate for like anything that a woman wants to do. I'm like, if she doesn't want to do it, I'm like, okay, then fuck him. We're not, you know what I mean?
Totally.
But then on the other hand, Dahmer, I thought was a really great show.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to watch it again, guys, but like, I think that like, but I do think that it was like, in a way, did you watch Dahmer?
I have not because I don't know if I'm emotionally able to handle what I expect like the violence to be in that show.
Yeah.
And I usually I watch American Horror Story. Like I can go there. I obviously watch House of the Dragon. Like I get it. I just was like, I don't know if I want to have the space in my mind to watch this unfold. But I mean, people said it's fantastic.
It's fantastic. And his attention to detail and stuff like that about what really happened. And I think that it's like, okay, so on one hand, it's like, obviously it's terrible that it happened, but it's like, if no one was making that movie, then these people would just be nameless.
Totally.
You know what I mean? So at least it kind of like tells their story.
Totally.
I don't know. You could look at it either way, but I thought it was at least tasteful and like well done and showed like the human part of these kind of like these victims. So
yeah, totally. I support that. I mean, look, Ryan Murphy, he knows how to turn something into a limited series. And so I'm glad he's kind of back on his, for lack of a better word, his throne a bit with that and The Watcher. I may give it a shot, make it a watch. We'll see.
What was I talking about before that? We were talking about, Pamela Anderson. I'm over it. Thanksgiving.
Here we go. Yeah, Thanksgiving. I'm excited. Give me some turkey. And it's my birthday 2 days before it. One day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Midterms coming up too.
Yeah, November is going to be an interesting month for me.
It's so dark.
But funny enough, I'm going with Andy. Andy Cohen is he's mm-hmm. introducing Kathy Hochul at Stonewall today.
Oh, nice. Today.
He texted me. Yeah, I was like, I'll go. I'll support Big Kath. Yeah, the midterms are. It's getting dark, but I still have hope, and yeah. I ultimately have hope because it's unfortunate that it's not still this simple because of all the issues, and I obviously talk at length about why Democrats better the economy and foreign policy, everything, but it really comes down to when you vote, do you believe that women deserve equal rights than men? Do you believe women are equal? That's it. That should be the one question everyone asks. I was like, yeah, okay, vote Democrat because we need to protect women's right to choose. It should be that simple.
Yeah.
And I have hope. I do have hope that people are going to remember that.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
While I totally agree with that, I even feel like even like the larger over like looming question or not question, looming issue is, does the person believe that the 2020 election was stolen?
Yes.
Like that's like yeah. this is we're like literally living in a fucking alternate universe.
Totally.
Where it's fucking nuts. The fact that a place like New York is this close to losing a governor's race to a fucking election denier, it says volumes about like where we are. Like
it's like are we in a twilight zone? Do we all take crazy pills? Like what the hell is going on? Because like Lee Zeldin, election denier Trumper, is close to being the governor of New York State. Wild.
Nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you've been seeing Joe Biden and Obama and Hillary, everyone's trying to get people to care about like why, like it is insane to like support election deniers and what's at stake, our democracy at stake. And I don't know, I will say my dad is in Florida and he used to vote Republican. He started voting Democrat for Obama. And I texted him and I said, obviously, I'm like, are you voting? He's like, yes. And he goes, I'm voting for Democrat. I believe in democracy. I'm like, okay, that's awesome. Like you're a 67-year-old white guy in Florida. Like that resonated with you. Cool. Okay. Yeah. I'm hoping that it's hitting people in a way that's not been measurable by like stupid polls or whatever people at CNN are saying.
I do think there's going to be like a huge turnout with like young people and women. Yeah. So, but as usual, women are going to get it done, especially black women.
Always. I mean, they overwhelmingly voted for Hillary. They saved Biden. They're like,
retired.
They are saving this country time and again. They're like, let us be. If Democrats pull out, it will be again because of black women, 100%, old and young across the board. And that is why we need more black women in power. So I hope Stacey Abrams can win and Georgia and Sherry Beasley, North Carolina. We'll see. But and Val Demings in Florida.
Val Demings. Yeah.
Dragging Marco Rubio on that debate stage was incredible to watch.
It's not hard.
Hard.
She made it look so good.
She made it look so good.
How do you kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? How do you like view like housewives political? Like
obsessed.
Like their political leanings. Like someone like Lisa Barlow, who's literally carrying her show right now.
Carrying it.
And she's so not unwell. Like she's like.
She is one of the most delusional people. I love
and Lisa so Barlow. Strange.
It is so strange because she thinks that she is Mother Teresa type of a good person.
Yes.
And Ray Stani is an incredible comedian, writer, you've seen my show, and amazing housewives historian of sorts, doesn't like Lisa Barlow because Lisa Barlow is not aware that she is the villain.
Yeah.
And I
think that's what makes her like an amazing villain.
Because she's so funny in those unintentional ways and how like the last episode, the fact that she felt compelled to prove Heather wrong about her dad's funeral, like the timing of when she texted it. And she was like, I had to defend myself. And you're like, in her head, she's like, that was my moral obligation to defend myself. Meanwhile, Heather's like, you destroyed me and my family. and there was just no recognition of it. It's crazy. You know, obviously, because she donated to Ted Cruz. And I feel like it definitely crossed the line when you're like a Kelly Dodd or a Vicky and you're like an anti-vaxxer spreading misinformation. I think I'm able to disassociate because, especially with Lisa Barlow, because no one really takes her seriously.
Yeah.
Honestly. So, And I think she's such an interesting character that I'm looking at her like it's like watching House of the Dragon. Like she is not real almost.
yeah.
But there are like, I always make this joke that I know Dolores from New Jersey probably voted for Trump like once or twice. And I love her. I love Dolores. I love her as a person. And I'm like, because Dolores reminds me of family members I have who voted for Trump. They don't support him anymore, but like, I love them. And it just, she's a good person and whatever political ideology is batshit wrong. But yeah, anyway, it's always interesting. It's always in my mind. I'm always very curious. Like not my girl, Jen Shah, big Biden supporter. Love that she's a Democrat, but convicted felon. So it's like, what?
Yeah. Kamala's not going to get you out of this one, honey.
No.
Certainly. Kamala
is not the case. As Kamala would say, it's closed.
Closed.
Let's cross
electric chair.
Electric chair, goodbye.
Yeah, Jen Shah is so strange.
So strange.
She was... I went to BravoCon. They sent me like a pass. Yeah. So I went and I remember that was probably the most like their panel SLC was the one that I actually remember. Like, I mean, the others were like, I was just kind of like there, but they were like, it was like a reunion.
Right.
They were like, they're so funny because they're like laughing. And I was like, oh, this is going to be really nice. And then 15 minutes later and it is just snaps. And I'm like, everyone here hates each other. Like it's kind of, we've kind of taken it. We're a little bit at a stalemate, I think, with Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because I said this before. They're kind of giving Real Housewives of New Jersey the dark years. Mm-hmm. It's starting to get a little darker, and people actually really just do not like each other, and we're fighting all the time. And it's
I don't think that show, even though it's produced incredible moments of reality television from Shaw, from the FBI to Lisa Barlow.
I don't know that it has the longevity.
It doesn't. It's not a Potomac. It's not a slow burn like Potomac that builds and gets better. And you have an OG cast of, you know, that's been all on for seven seasons. And it just doesn't have the legs. Salt Lake City has burnt bright, is burnt fast, and it's given us a lot. I do not foresee it lasting that much longer. I just don't.
I don't think that sorry if anyone lives in SLC, but I just don't know maybe if the casting pool is just not that great because these women that they've been introducing, I'm like, no one's hitting. No one's ever going to really hit like Mary.
No one's ever like Mary. I mean, well, who was just one of the, again, most interesting people ever be on television. Her closet, the way she would, that I always knew the one that when Whitney walks away, she goes, women.
Women.
Women. Women. I mean, Mary, you could maybe try to find interesting people like that, but like how many Angies are we going to bring on this show? We already have two. I mean, like everyone's named Angie. And the thing is like Heather, and who I love, is really exhausting the Mormon stuff. Like, we are getting the full-on, like, you're not going to get anyone.
We've told the story now, I think.
We've told the story, especially with the Bad Mormon book and her family. We are hitting that story. So it's like, I don't know what more you could bring in that. And that's what Salt Lake City is trying to give. It's like, this is this Mormon community. And so, yeah, I feel like perceive one more season-ish was, you know.
Yeah, because once Jen goes away and we don't have Mary anymore, I think losing Mary was like a huge loss for them. I don't think people realize like what comic relief she kind of added and such a strange vibe. Yeah. So I don't know.
Oh, I would have brought her back and we just keep her in our house. We just flashback to her. Like, they'll be like, the other women will be at dinner. We just go to Mary in her closet, just like walking around.
Yeah.
Like that. She was hilarious. Yeah. It was and funny and also kind of cruel and she was an interesting character. She was. So we'll see about like, but I'm still enjoying it, but I don't think it's going to last like Potomac and obviously Atlanta and other ones.
Switching gears real quick. So like Kanye's losing everything.
I love it.
Did you see
that his lawyer quit?
His
lawyer quit. Cause like apparently like what, wait, it was like literally like, he's like difficult. Spoiler, like Kanye is like insane.
Difficult
to work with, which is just,
He's bleeding money.
Yeah, it's quote unreasonably difficult. That's what the lawyer said. He's bleeding money. I mean, this is an unwell person who needs serious help and needs to go away. And I hope he does.
Oh my god, Skechers headquarters.
Love it. I mean, it's so fun. I mean, SNL did a good sketch of like how like, when you're basically denied by Skechers, like how low that is, and how like Skechers now gets relevancy by just denying Kanye.
It's so insane to be washed by fucking Skechers. That's a new low. Oh my God.
A new low.
You're basically orthopedic shoes.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, I remember when I was like 6 years old, people had Skechers or whatever. I almost forgot though they existed and but I guess I'm happy for them. I'm happy for them to having this moment of just doing the right thing by kicking West out.
Taylor's having like the best time ever. He's having the worst. It's kind of amazing.
It actually is amazing. The universe is doing this. And she's like, she just, you know, broke Madonna's record, most top 10 hits for female artists in Billboard Hot 100. Like,
not the same thing though.
Not the same
thing. I have to say, because back then it was like people had to literally go buy albums.
Yeah.
Now it's just like a bunch of Taylor stans probably like clicking the same song a million times because they're insane.
It is not the same thing. And as a Madonna fan, I it hit me a little bit, but it all just to say like she's having a moment. Obviously, I mean I'm not a huge Taylor Swift fan, but it is great that she's having this moment when Kanye West is completely falling apart.
Yeah, I am by no means a Taylor Swift stan, but I will always love when a woman shits on a man. So like,
love it.
I'm for it.
Yeah, I'm for it.
Women's stories matter.
They definitely do.
Women's stories matter.
Stories matter. That's a great take. They just do. They just matter. And I love poetic justice. And this is what it is. Like, it's like she's killing it.
Rihanna's back. This has been the most botched rollout of a comeback I have ever fucking seen. Oof. Girl,
never mind, pretend reverse this didn't actually happen, pretend I didn't just release. The song is I listened to it and I'm Chadwick Boseman, it's amazing to honor him. It's not something you listen to again. No. And then is the Johnny Depp rumors true?
Johnny Depp is supposed to apparently be in the Savage Fenty show, which I guess is like next week. I don't even watch those. I don't care about like that part of it. But yeah, no, it's just like for some reason she reached out to him and he's going to be in it. And I'm just so confused because like outside of a court case that's literally about abuse, like what? Why are we here? Like what?
Why are we here?
Who wants to see him in his underwear? Like what?
I know. Also, because he's like has aged horribly. I mean, he looks terrible. He's not a good person. So he's not great. And that's what happens. Bad people don't age well. I'm surprised with Rihanna. I don't know who's her publicist or manager. What's going on? I think there should have maybe more of a little team meeting before this rollout. But you know, she got the Super Bowl halftime show. I expect it to be amazing, and that's what we'll remember.
I mean, like I said, literally no one's been talking about Johnny Depp at all outside of his court case, and I don't even know where he's been for most of the 2000s. No. Honestly, looks like they found him in like the Titanic, and he's just been down there soaking, and then they just kind of brought him back up like the fucking jewel from the Titanic.
Exactly.
The way he looks like he's been just like fermenting underwater. Like
it's not good luck. Why bring him back? Why bring him back to our lives? And I don't understand that. So Rihanna hopefully will explain. But
they're dragging her, so I don't know. It's been a crazy fucking couple of days. So she's getting dragged. And then Drake said, "Oh, hold my beer."
Right.
Did you see the Drake stuff?
No, remind me.
Oh, so Drake released a new like an album. It's like a mixtape with 21 Savage. And basically one of the songs though, he literally says basically Meg Thee Stallion lied about getting shot because you know she was shot in the foot Tory Lanez, he's like calls her a bitch and he says she's lying about getting shot. I'm like, this is so fucking not cool. Like I don't, and it's just so weird because like he doesn't ever have the same energy for like men, but like it's just it's very strange.
I think there's something happening with really, really famous people are losing it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're seeing, like, it's just not sustainable to be that famous for that for a long period of time. Like there's something, the wires get disconnected of decision making. Like, why do that? Why say that? Why go? Why? Yeah, he's never. Yeah, going after a woman rapper like that and unneeded. A lot of unneeded, like, just decisions being made. Choices.
They're dragging him online though. Oh my God.
Good.
Oh my God. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh my God. They're like, he's a bitter single dad with a botched BBL. And like, because he's had so many like lipos and all totally. That stuff. He's like, yeah, he's giving botched body at this point, but he's just like, they're like, he's always in women's business. I mean, he's right. more in women's business more than like Peter Thomas. It's like,
I was gonna say,
Patricia. Okay, Patricia.
Oh my God, Nene. I miss the good Nene days.
Those were so fucking good, those days. There's a clip that's been going viral again, and it's the one where Kim is sitting in her car, fixing her wig, smoking with a Chardonnay, listening to the demo for Tightrope. There's a Cairo.
People say I sound like Cher, so I told him I sound like Cher. And he's like,
Dallas said, oh, I've got a song for you. There's a Cairo. And then Sheree's sitting in the passenger seat. She's like, I didn't know she could sing like that. It's amazing. She sounds like an angel. I was like,
it's just like old Atlanta is just, it's so incredible. It's incredible. But like, even like when it was like this, the obviously one of the many famous Nene, like the It's Getting Weird clip. Like, I was talking to Ira Maz about it. That one scene
clip has like 20 different memes from it.
Bling, bling, bling. Bitches be mad.
Be mad. But I got to get this watch, though.
I got this watch, though. Okay. It's getting weird. Like, it's just like, it's what, like, it's just like, that's how, like, amazing those women were and how organic it was. And Nene was this, just like, was a star. And it's so unfortunate, like, her downfall. I think her own worst enemy, I think, always. No one could take down Nene like Nene. Like, Nene just anyway, but I love the best Twitter is a hellscape, but the best part about it is when those clips recirculate and you start reliving it
for no reason. Someone will be like, hey, remember that time Phaedra did this, and it's just like, and it's just her like eating with her mom going it's like,
so good.
I don't know, we'll never get that back in Atlanta, I don't think.
Yeah, you know, I liked this season. I think
not a good season for my girl Marlo.
Not a good season for Marlo. Marlo, talk about someone who's almost sending me too. Like, she just, the way she went after Candy didn't seem that real. I mean, the stuff with her nephews, it was tough for Marlo. I do like her. I do think she's funny. I like when the way she talks, when she's in the reunion with Kenya, she's like, oh, you're using big words. I don't know that word. Like, she'll like, like the way she fights is self-deprecating. I just think it's a mind fuck, and she's
or just
funny,
her being like, Andy, I'm sorry, I have one more thing to say.
Yeah.
You're a dumb bitch.
Like, she'll be peaceful, then she'll go in.
It's just like the most like basic reads. They're not even really reads. I mean, she doesn't. Marlo doesn't really read, to be honest. She's just like really nasty and goes below the belt. She'll just like, so she's not. There's no real art to it, but still, I love her.
Would you bring Portia back?
I don't know. I feel like she also is kind of like not organically involved with these women. And like when she would fight with people, it also just felt really like they're kind of exhausting, that class of women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's like the second class. Like, there's the first class was like the first wave of Atlanta where they like didn't know what they were doing, and they were just naturally being like, Sheree's kind of still that person, but then like Portia comes in like the second wave where it's like she knows that to argue you're gonna, or to be on the show you're gonna have to argue with people, and it just doesn't feel authentic. And I'm not really like a huge Portia lover. I don't hate her, but I'm just like,
and I think also I did really love Portia. I think she was really funny. And I also appreciate her, you know, her arc of the Underground Railroad, where does the train go to, being coming, as Marlo would say, Portia Luther King, and like the whole
Portia Luther King.
I love that arc. It was a beautiful arc to watch. But I think the thing with her, though, ultimately, I like where Kenya is on the show. And I think bringing Portia back would change that and make Kenya back to being a villain in an unlikable way. And I think Kenya is pretty dynamic, and I think the show this season, it's figuring out what the dynamics are. And like, I like Sonya. I think she's cool. I think,
oh, girl,
I think she's better than Drew.
No, but I think Sonya seems like a very nice lady.
Yeah.
BravoCon.
Oh.
They had everybody walk out one by one and introduce them, and roars of applause for everybody. And then finally Sonya walks out and people are like,
why did they do that to her?
And then they sat her on the couch And yeah. I swear to God, it had been 30 minutes before anyone even asked her a question on the panel. I forgot that she was there. Sonia, I would have got up and walked off. Right. I would have been like, I don't even know why I'm here. I wasted all this time flying to New York, getting my hair and makeup done to come sit on a couch and look like a piece of furniture. It was...
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh,
that's rough. Well...
I kind of like Drew sometimes.
Yeah, I do too. I think I ended up this season being like, okay, I mean, look, she gives personal story. We always got something with her. I mean, she's funny, like how like the whole drop it with Drew was in it was laughing at her kind of way. And yeah, she engages. I would say I was opposed to her coming back. Now I'm like, okay, we can keep her. Let's see how it goes.
I do feel a little bit like her and Ralph kind of put on. Like, I think that some of their stuff is kind of like made up. They seem like a couple who would realize this is like an investment and like a career move to be on a reality show. And I feel like they're kind of like, who knows, that assistant story could have been totally fabricated just to kind of, you know what I mean? They seem like the couple to do that. Now, that being said, I still like something about Drew. She's so delusional that I'm like, there's something about her I kind of like, but I can never fully... invest. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I would want to study a person who is a Drew Sidora stan. Like, does she have, I would want to, like, who is, like, in love with Drew? Like, she's my favorite. Like,
The whole show, I'm sorry. I think in general, I think the whole show is having, like, kind of an identity crisis a little bit and trying to figure out who it is and what it is, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's what's happening with the mainstay Real Housewives shows. I think they're all obviously New York. We've been living through it and the whole new recast. And I think Beverly Hills is having a moment after this season of what it's going to be and how it's going to shift. And I think Atlanta, OC obviously has been through it and they're bringing Tamara back. Like, I think all those like the main core shows are having like a moment of like, how do we keep this thing going? What's the show going to be? While you look at Potomac, which is so sure of what it is. And Salt Lake, we just talked about, though may not last long, is so sure of what it is. Like it just, those shows are clear of like, okay, like we know what we're doing. We're going to give you entertainment. While I think Atlanta and is like Beverly Hills and OC is struggling to find its identity again.
For sure. You don't watch Love is Blind, do you?
I don't.
No, yeah.
But I was reading up about it. Yeah. People love it. People love it.
I'm going to skip over that because it's just like a lot. And, but I was just watching it right before, but it's basically just toxic men. Right. Do you watch Winter House?
No, but should I?
No. It's also
I have
like
a problem with those shows. I don't love watching like arrogant 30 somethings. Like I just don't, it doesn't vibe with me as well, but people are obsessed Summer House, obsessed Winter House. Like I get it, but yeah
you're not honestly like missing that much. Winter House is like a little short watch too, and it's just people being drunk and assholes, and I don't even know.
And they combine like the cast from different, like Vanderpump Rules, Summer House, that's the thing. I mean,
well, I want to talk more about the Real Housewives of New York reboot, but let's talk a little bit about your show that's coming up. Tell people about
So many issues.
Yeah, so many issues with Lucas Tim.
I'm so happy you're doing it.
Yeah.
Basically it's a late night show. So I start the show with a monologue and which is gonna be, it's mostly comedic, and I mostly share, I talk like a personal issue of mine, mostly my love life. But warning, it will be a week after the midterm. So I will address it and maybe give hopefully
we'll be celebrating
celebratory or, you know, I'll try to inspire and try to regroup. And then I usually have like three comedians come on and they do like an 8-minute set. I have a drag queen come on and she performs an incredible. And then in the middle of it, I interview a politician or an activist. I've had Raquel Willis, who's a trans activist and writer. I've had Eric Botcher and Crystal Hudson, New York City Council members. I've had just like incredible people come on and share the issues that they care about and what they're fighting for. And at the end, which you'll be a part of, you'll be my main panelist, I bring the comics back on and we talk about pop culture. And we end the show just like gabbing and being silly. That's the show. It's
fun. It's at Soho House.
It's at Soho House. So if you're a member, you can come on over by. And if you're not, you can DM me or DM the Instagram page and we'll get you in. Yeah, so it's open to everyone. 16th. Don't worry about it. November 16th, yeah.
I want to talk about Real Housewives of New York reboot. I also want to talk a bit about Beverly Hills and all that stuff, and mostly Lisa Rinna, some stuff going on there.
Yep.
We're going to go over to the B-side, which is the bonus episode. You guys can actually subscribe to that by going to patreon.com/theBList and subscribing there. You can get that and other bonus episodes. Lucas, do you want to tell people where to follow your Instagram page?
Yes, you can follow me at Lucas Tim. So it's LukasThimm. Mm-hmm. I know, silent H, Lucas with a K. Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, and I post a ton. So, and I have the show, my show about politics, about housewives. So it's come on over, and okay. I'm promise I'm a fun, slightly unhinged follow.
You guys know where to find me. Head over to the B-side, and we'll keep the conversation going there. Bye, guys.
Bye.